This is Katie B, and you are about to listen to an early episode of my podcast. Now the show is called the Move Your DNA Podcast, and you can find all episode transcripts and the show notes to this episode at nutritiousmovement.com/podcast. Enjoy. I have a good zombie story, but I'm not going to tell you right now. I'll tell you later.
Welcome to the Katie Says Podcast, where Danny Hammett, that's me, and Katie Bowman talk about movement, the tiny details, the larger issues, and why movement matters.
I'm Katie Bowman, biomechanist and author of Move Your DNA.
And I'm Danny Hammett, a chronically curious movement geek goofball. And today we're preppers, not for the zombie apocalypse, silly, but for a major hiatus from social media.
Are you going to do a social media break too?
I am.
So you did one last year.
I did. It was awesome.
Well, how long was it?
It was an entire month, the whole month of July, from the 1st to the 31st. And it was everything. No Instagram, no Facebook, no Twitter, nothing.
Sorry, I just kicked my microphone.
That's okay.
Take that. Did you, so it wasn't screen restricted, like there are all kinds of different, you know,
right.
Challenges.
It wasn't screen free.
Okay.
I didn't, like I watched movies
working.
And Netflix
and stuff.
And I still had my computer to do emails and all that, but I just wasn't in social media.
Yeah, it was a very
specific.
That's
what it was. It wasn't a screen free, it was social media free.
That's great. And I think it's important to delineate. There are a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different things that you can step away from. So a lot of people might say like, well, there's no way I can step away from my computer. Like we've done the screen free week show.
Right.
This is a social media specific step back. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to do something similar.
Yeah.
I've been talking about it.
Do you have a length of time? Or are you still playing around with that?
I'm still, what are you going to do? Cause maybe
I'm going to do a month again, but I wanted to kind of ask you what your thoughts on were this.
Oh,
because I'm also doing this thing where I'm walking 2017 miles in this year, and I post every day on Instagram.
Well, let's talk about that. That's a good,
okay,
I think that, you know, I enjoy challenges. You know, it serves the same purpose for me, like setting out on a 20-mile walk, something with a definite end. You know, I do well with the rules of the challenge, you know, like what are the things, you know, So I'm going to do something similar as well. I've done a month. Last year, I think I did a little bit longer. I think I did the remaining spring. It was my spring break. And I didn't do the full 3 months of spring, but I think I did 6 weeks of it. Like it was the midpoint. And I was like, I want to enjoy the rest of my spring. I needed to step back. I had written a lot of books close together.
Mm-hmm.
So I am shooting for 3 to 6 months.
That's
huge.
That's nice.
Yes. Well, it's a nice break. But, you know, alongside that, the reality is social media makes up a lot of my work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how I connect to many people is via social media.
For you, when you say the breaks, you mean you're not posting nor are you visiting?
Oh, correct. Yeah.
Okay,
because I find for
sure
me, we were talking last time about like, I find for me, there are two components of social media. The posting part is actually fairly easy, although it's begun affecting the way that I live my life. You know, like when I'm out having my life, and part of the experience of having my life is to disrupt my engagement with the experience and the immediate like framing of the experience as a lesson for other people, then I have to look at, wow, like my work is overstepping into every capacity. And I could argue that that's not actually what my work is at all. Like, so what I put on social media, it might be what I'm calling my work right now. But if I were to define what I want my work to be and where I think it's best, it would not be really engaging in social media. Like that there are other things that I could be working on and developing that aren't like what I call blurting, which is like a really short like outburst. So it's the posting. And then, of course, there's the mindless scrolling for me, meaning it's another way of like checking out, of just like looking through everything. And I was like, I don't feel like I didn't come here with a purpose. I came here just to, like, I came here out of habit. And so I've had I've experienced, and again, I've posted this on social media. Like, it's been, I lost my father a few weeks ago. I'm in the process of, you know, losing a dear friend. And so I've really come face to face with this idea, like, that I want to make sure that I'm aware of how I'm choosing to spend all of my minutes. And for me, activities like social media have begun to have an element of purposelessness. Like, it's just like, I don't know what else to do. I'm not choosing. I'm not looking at my personal mission statement. Like, I'm not like actively seeking anything. It's just kind of like flipping through the channel. I got rid of the TV, but I have other channels to flip through now. And so I really want to take a step back with that. One, to make sure I can. There's a lot of information now about technology addiction. And so it's really hard. It's really easy for me to perceive that I can step away whenever I want, as long as I'm never stepping away. So this is a challenge for me. It's a know thyself challenge. Like, I want to know, you know, am I okay? Like, I've been reading a lot of books of different themes, and it doesn't matter which, whether it's like on farming and or on civilization or ants. Like, I keep coming back to this theme of like, there are things that I would rather be doing than this, but I'm not doing them.
Right.
And I need to. So that's why I personally am doing this. What's your reason?
Well, I feel like it's pretty easy for me to step away now after that, doing that month that just, I saw the light and how awesome it is. For me, it's just kind of a decluttering of my brain.
Cool.
Yeah.
And we've done a show on it before, right? So if someone wants to listen to those experiences from last year, they can.
Yeah.
So let's talk about prep.
Yes, it is important, I think, to prep with any habit change, at least for most people.
Well, it's a challenge, right? This is like a challenge. So it's like, if you were going to do like the Whole 30 or something like that, you wouldn't be like, I'm going to do it and then have no resources available.
Right. Yeah.
It makes it easier. I mean, which is totally different than your phone falling in the water. Like, there are those catastrophic impositions that you're like, yes, I'm on a social. I've had people say I dropped my phone or it broke. Maybe it was actually you last year where you're like, I was off social media for a week. Oh, no, it was my nephew. And he said it was amazing. Like, I couldn't text. Like, people actually had to call my house. Like, there are. But I want to talk about all. For me, it's social media, but it is also the use of my phone as an appendage. Because the bulk of what I do with my phone is, I don't know what to call it. And I'm not talking about the work stuff. I'm talking about the non-work stuff. So I think you can leave like what you do as your job out of this if you're thinking about it. For me, like, I got a handwritten letter the other day. And it like blew my mind. And I felt like I could never write a handwritten letter. These thumbs were made for texting. You know, the fact that when we had friends who moved to where we were and they were like, they had never texted before. They would just always call. And like, we are texters, right? We're like group texters. And we totally converted them from people who would call you to have a conversation to texting. And it's not to say that texting hasn't been fun or doesn't have value. I would say that when, after my father lost his hearing, who's a great communicator and lover of technology, I got years and years of fun connection with my dad because he could text just fine. He just couldn't hear. And so he couldn't be funny anymore because he couldn't hear what anyone was saying to like offer a quib or a witticism. But texting, he was all day about it. So it allowed him to participate and for me to continue to know that aspect of our relationship. These aren't judgments or that these things are good or bad. This is simply, it's time for me to step away. So I had to look at like, what are the things? There's texting. There's obviously going through that social media
the
leopard in a cage, like cycle through everything.
Well, and I think filming everything,
taking a picture, documenting everything, and then mappage, like, not like a big skill. Like, we have totally switched from, like, I used to get into my 1989 Honda Civic that, FYI, used to fill up for $8. Full tank of gas. 36 miles a gallon.
Wow.
You know, uphill both ways. And I had a map, like an atlas of maps, and I would drive all over the United States. I had no cell phone. I had nothing. And nothing that I would be paralyzed with fear if I were to leave today without those things, right? Like, it's so unsafe to be on the road. Like, our perception of what is safe is just basically the difference between what we have and not having it anymore. Like, we've begun to project safety on just abundance. And so we have, like, gotten maps for the last few trips that we've taken and tried to go back to being able to navigate off of a piece of paper rather than just have a voice tell us, turn left here, you know, like, where you have to, like, you can totally zone out.
Well, and you're not paying attention to any landmarks, any sun on the hills, nothing. You're like, okay, thank you.
And at the same time, we're talking about, like, rewilding. It's like a simple way to rewild is to get rid of your GPS and just pick up, like, to go back to engaging visually with your landscape. Like, that is becoming a lost skill. It could very easily be when everyone in the world has a smartphone, you know, that everyone is like, what is the cloud? I don't know. There are actual clouds, and there's this other thing that I don't understand called the cloud. And it's just like, it has the information in it, but if it's not there anymore, I feel lost. And so taking up navigation again, and I'm not talking about, like, orienteering in the backcountry. Like, I'm talking about, like, driving around my own town, like, just really simple things that I got away from over the last 4 or 5 years. And so, like, to go back to, I feel like I'm talking a lot. I feel like to go back to that community, part of what I'm trying to do is, I mean, there are communities and the things that community provides. And I have a very large online community that I love and learn tremendous things from, for sure. And vice versa, I would hope. But at the same time, what's needed for me here is an in-person community, because I can't make the transition to the things that I have, to the, like, the wisdom or the knowledge that I have, like, has led me to the point of, like, well, it's still an in-person community that's needed. You can have an amazing online community to share and swap ideas, but the fact of the matter is many things require a person-to-person exchange, and a large portion of my time is cultivating an online community versus an in-person community. Like, so, you know, again, what's the Dallas Hartwig's less media, more social. Yes, less, more social, less media, that there are opportunities for developing a community that gets thwarted by my interaction with online community. So I've, like, over the years, like, I've recognized this early on, and I've been definitely pulling back and creating the in-person community. It's not like magic. It's not like, wow, you're so lucky to have a community. It's like, this is work. Yeah. This has required me going, hey, I have my body right here. How can I serve you with my physical body? Can I watch your kids? Can I weed your farm? Can I make you dinner? Can you come over to my house for dinner? But if you don't ask those questions and don't put your physical body out there, you're not going to. Like, it has required a lot of movement.
I have to share this story related to that happened. So last year when I did the Take a Break Challenge, there was over 50 people from all over the world that joined in, which was really cool and participated. And it affected everybody positively. They loved it. But one of my friends, Pamela, during the challenge, she sent out in her neighborhood, she hand delivered little handwritten invitations to everybody on her street. And it just said, I'm going to be in my front yard for coffee. I don't know any of you. It was way more eloquent than what I'm saying. I don't know any of you. Bring your coffee, bring a chair. I'm going to be in my front yard Saturday morning from 9 to 11.
I love that.
And she just set up her little chair with a pot of coffee and her cup and just sat out in her yard. And instead of scrolling through her phone and reading the news or any of that jazz, she just waited for people to show up. And people showed up. And she met, I know, how cool is this? And she met neighbors that she just hadn't, you know, they had never interacted. And I just think that was such a cool, positive action for her to use her body to serve the community, you know, and bring it together. That was a neat positive thing that came out of last year's challenge.
And, you know, we've talked about building community. So it might be that a step to building community is take a social media break, because we have a limited resource of time and attention. And if you're throwing abundance towards online, which again, isn't to say that you're not going to make friendships and get what you need that way. It's just that there's a need to not outsource all of your community to people who are living in a different place than you. There's a real tangible need for in-person community. And so you don't want to use all your community dollars. You don't want to spend them all online. So what was the other thing that I was just thinking about that? So I have a job, and what I do is educate, but I've enjoyed the freedom that short social media bursts give me versus like one long, you know, writing of a blog post or whatever gives me. I've enjoyed that particular freedom, but what's happened is I've heard other people say, "Well, I would love to give up social media, but I am like so into learning what you're teaching right now that I'm afraid if I go offline for 30 days, I'm going to miss it." Like, so I realize that I too am in a relationship with keeping other people online. If other people are online because it's the way that I'm choosing to teach, then they're unable to make a transition. So I thought, okay, well, this is an ecology. We can transition together. So I need to find a way. I'm currently in process of like, how do I find a way to give out what I'm giving in a way that doesn't require that you check your phone 40 times a day to see if I have given anything, which is just like an agreement between you and me. Like, here's what I'm going to do for my social media break. I'm going to be preparing a monthly newsletter. So I already have a monthly newsletter, but it's been more like just general, you know, just kind of, it's like a general newsletter. Mm-hmm. I'm going to transition to giving out those bits of information, but just in a more robust piece, but it'll only come out once a month. You know to look for it. You know that it will be there in your inbox. You don't have to engage with social media to make sure you don't miss anything, because I'm not going to put out anything that you're going to miss. We're going to both be able to step away from constantly checking into these other things. And if you don't want to, that's fine. But at least I feel like I'm not enabling, right?
That's cool.
Particular
that's
thing. Cool. So it's just a way, this is a stack your life type thing. This is a way of changing a behavior that still accomplishes the same thing, but in a different way. So it's going to require that the relationship with social media and the way that I work change. And then of course the trigger is other people will have a change in the way that they're interacting with my material too. My material becomes more aligned with my overall message. So that's what I will be working on. So sign up for the newsletter if you haven't already. It'll be at nutritiousmovement.com.
Yes. It's usually a pretty darn good newsletter too.
It's full, but it'll be better.
Yeah.
It'll be better, you know?
How are you preparing for your own? So you know what the plan is when you're going to go on hiatus, but how are you preparing for your own self and your own possible addiction maybe or withdrawal? Are there things that you're doing now, like cutting back? Like every once in a while, I'll just take a 1 to 3 day break, just not planned. I'll put it down and be like, that's it. And I'll walk away, because I learned last year during the big break that I survive. Mm-hmm. And it's just feels, my brain just really got open and uncluttered. It's kind of nice to take those small little decluttering breaks just to kind of always remind yourself. Like, I recommend doing these breaks definitely more than once a year.
Oh, yeah. You know, and to put mini breaks in, like we've said, you know, like one day a week, or certainly like, I mean, it starts with like, can you take a longer break, whether it's a month or a week? Yes or no. Can you take weekends off? Yes or no. Can you take the nighttime off? Yes or no. Can you take dinner off? Can you leave it in your car? Like, so any of those would be a step for you to measure how comfortable / uncomfortable you feel without that device being able to engage with. And like, even like little things like ask the magic. Anytime you want to know anything, there is a culture that develops when whenever you want to know something, you no longer have to think about it. You just ask the magic box and lo and behold, it answers. And that's going to be really funny that I just said that, because I just read this article and I took a picture of it so that I could... So I could share it, because it was, I know, I get the irony of all this. Like, it was so powerful to me. So I was reading The Economist, April 8th to 14th, Why Computers Will Never Be Safe is the cover. The name of the article is Mind Meld, and it's a book review on a book called The Knowledge Illusion, Why We Never Think Alone. I haven't read the book yet because I just read the review of it. And they're saying, like, do you know how a toilet works? Do you know how a zipper works? Do you know how a bicycle works? Like, most people are utilizing gajillions of technology that they have little to no understanding of how they actually work. They are daily occurrences. They've been in their life always. Their skill level is adapted to all these technologies, but they don't actually know how it works. And that... what these cognitive scientists were saying, and it's a book that's drawing on evolutionary theory and psychology, they're saying that we're always striving really to do as little as possible, right? That's like that's like the human condition, that we store knowledge then throughout a community, but the members do not realize that this is the case, that different people know different things, but we know a bare minimum, and that we really depend on the collective knowledge that we've outsourced knowing. That was their word, outsourced knowing.
Outsourced knowing.
That we have this outsourcing habit. And so when I was reading this, I was like, yes, okay, it's very similar again to Movement Matters ideas, where we've outsourced movement, but we've also outsourced knowledge, right? We're trying to definitely get it back, or we have people who are in charge of getting it back, and then perhaps people who are in charge of disseminating it to the public. But again, it's challenging to do that because you can only know so much, and your tendency is perhaps to know as little as possible. And so they're really saying you need to be skeptical of your own knowledge and the wisdom of your crowd, because that's going to lead you to how you think things actually work. So it made me think, yes, okay, I understand this. And that what I've been personally working on is, given that there's so much to know, like, I don't need to know how a zipper works. Like, I have to prioritize what's actual life necessity knowledge and which isn't. Like, I would say that knowing how to get water, if it wasn't like, if someone else wasn't piping it to your house, knowing how to get water and about water, that's a greater priority for me. So thus, I create a relationship with Find a Spring and start looking at the newspaper columns. Like, this is what I'll be doing on my social media break, is identifying outsourced, critical outsourced knowledge. Like, you can outsource it, but when you start outsourcing where your food comes from, how to get food, what's edible, where's water, where do you put your waste, how do you deal with waste so that everyone doesn't get sick, basic medicine, right, not things that require other people's knowledge. Like, how can I tend to myself? And then, of course, there's that movement component. Like, there are so many, like, midwifery, like, what are the knowledges that humans really rely on, where you become very precarious when that foundational knowledge has been outsourced for the knowledge that you prefer to have, which, again, is enjoyable, but maybe not critical. So anyway, I don't know how I got to that, but it's such a fascinating article.
Have you, you've probably read The Natural Navigator and Lost Art of Reading Nature's Signs.
Yeah. I have a stack in a picture right now.
Oh, okay, cool. Awesome. those are good books for what you're talking about.
Yeah. Really, and so books. That's what I'm planning on doing. Like, I don't have a plan for I don't have a plan for failure. You know, like, what happens if I get back on? Like, I don't anticipate that being an issue. I definitely have a period of transition, like you said. But mostly it's about setting the intention for when I'm gone. Like, why am I gone? Like, instead of just going, oh, I should do a media break because media is not good for me.
That brings me to one of my favorite tips.
Tell me your tips.
For prepping for this, because some people are freaked out about what they're going to do and they are worried about failure, which is totally understandable. I suggest you make a two-part list.
Mm.
The first part is if you just kind of brainstorm, take a little bit of time, get to a quiet spot and think about the things you liked to do before you had social media. So you kind of have to go back, what, eight years or so, 10 years, and think about
what was one for you? What was
one for me?
Yeah, like what have you replaced?
Just sitting around and goofing around on my guitar.
Oh, okay,
great. Just picking it up. And or remember just sitting and listening to music without doing anything else?
See, that used to be a thing.
And you would do it. And you would sit and talk with other people or you'd be by yourself or you'd read lyrics. But those things have
been replaced. I can't tell if that's a younger person's thing or a social media thing, because I think you are too. I'm in a time where, you know, all I know is my own reality, that social media came on with children. Like, I got my first smartphone when I got my first baby, like within a couple of months. And so it's very hard for me to separate parenting from smartphone usage. Like, how interesting is that? Because like, how else are you supposed to record your child's life and your every thought? Like, I'm looking through pictures right now in preparing for different family events. And I see that there were like maybe 17 pictures existed for every year of my life. You know, there was like three Christmas and all of them were bad, but they weren't bad. What they documented, like you can barely see anyone's face, but you can see what clothes and you can see like what people were eating for breakfast. You can see that everyone was smoking in the pictures and what was in the, you know, the Marlboro Lights advertisement on the newspaper. Like, there was a lot of information that doesn't come in these like perfectly crafted artistic. So I need to realize that it's okay to not document a life that is just one person of one culture's experience, and no one knows how that's going to affect the culture going forward.
Exactly.
Although there's these books that are saying it. So like, it's not about going retro. It's just about making sure that I'm not overly tying unrelated things together.
Right.
So I like that.
That's
guitar. I have to think about
that's
that. What did I do before?
That takes a while. That takes a while to make that list. So keep that list. And then you go back in the second part, you make the second list about things you want to do. Just simple, like.
Like things you've always wanted to do?
Yeah. Like, you know, learn to juggle or.
Yeah.
I don't know. Learn how to pluck your eyebrows. Whatever it is. I don't care. But you make that list because I used to smoke. Years ago, I was a smoker. And when I quit smoking, whenever I'd want a cigarette, I'd have a piece of gum or take a drink of water. You know, like I had this substitution. I think when you're first weaning yourself off social media and your phone addiction, just to have that go-to list so that when you feel like, I got to check my phone, that you can look at that list and go, or...
Mm-hmm.
I could bake a cake, you know,
right.
Or I could pick up my guitar. I think having those quick and ready substitutions, because your brain isn't wired right now for the stuff you used to like to do. It's wired to what you're doing right now. If you can have the reference, it really does help a lot.
And put them in your hand almost, like almost have them ready to go.
I had them out on the fridge. And so it's like whenever I felt like I missed my phone or I missed social media, I would just do one of those things on the list and boom, it was gone immediately.
Well, and like we said last time, remove the apps, right?
Yes.
Like definitely remove your social media apps. I wonder if you can even temporarily like downgrade your data plan, right? Where there's like an incentive there.
Probably,
where like
maybe.
I, you know, call and say, I need to go off for a few months. Can you do this? And then I've been toying around with no texting during this time too, like actually physically calling people on the phone.
Are you a big texter?
I am, because it's the way that I have become so productive is I've outsourced single person communication to mass grouping text to a lot of people. And you get, it's like kind of like, you know, when you have kids or you yourself are hungry, it's very easy to quench. That's not the right word. Like to squelch.
An awesome word though.
Thank you though. To quench. I was thinking quench and squelch together. Like to quench your need for water or for food. Like you can eat junk food and that it'll mitigate the signal, but that doesn't mean that that was the best way to meet that need. It just means that our signals haven't adjusted to all the things that are available right now. So when you are itching to connect or itching for input of some type, you can basically do the equivalent to eat a, I'm not going to say Snickers bar. You can do the equivalent. You can do the equivalent to drinking like a cup of Coca-Cola to get those signals to go off, which would be like picking up and just doing like a lap. Or you could, like you say, go outside and count birds. Like, you know, someone told me once, like if you are having like an anxious feeling, and I've done this with my kids for other reasons, like just to get them to focus on something different, identify 5 natural sounds and immediately sends their brain looking for something. Or can you see, how many different bird species can you see right now? Or, you know, like some sort of game that you have that when you notice yourself get in a particular loop, that you send your mind seeking a different type of input that is more aligned with what you yourself would like to be seeking. So that's,
yes,
that would be my back pocket tip.
That's good. Well, I think I just kind of, through this talk, answered my question that I asked at the beginning about my walking project and Instagram.
What are you going to do?
I think I am going to just take a break from it because I'm still going to be walking and, you know, people know it.
You know, yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, it's okay if you're okay. Like, hey, guess what? I will be walking these 5 days. Like, if you want to post something before, I'm on a social make these days. And what will I be doing? I'll be walking this day and walking this day and walking this day and walking this day. Mm-hmm. Or you could encourage people to say, you know, like, I'm going to be posting a weekly recap of my walks through my newsletter, which just, it trains you and allows you, if you still feel that need of connection, if you still want that body of work to be there, you can just do it a different way. Like, why couldn't you send out a blog post to do it, to say, you know, I'm going to be off social media, but is a blog social media? You get to define if it is or if it isn't. So many different ways.
Yeah, no, that's very helpful. I'm excited. I hope a lot of people decide, you know, that doesn't have to be for a month. It doesn't have to be for 3 to 6 months, but they really are helpful.
I think so.
And until you take them, you don't realize how helpful they are.
Exactly. It's like coming out of a structured shoe. You never knew it felt a particular way until you felt something different. Okay, when's your month? Do you know yet?
July. I'm going to do July.
It's and perfect, I think I'll probably do month. July, August, September too. Yeah. So enjoy the summer.
Yeah. I wrote a blog post about my experience and I called it my 1970s summer because I actually did things. I mean, even though I work and I have kids, I did things like just was lying there in the grass watching clouds, you know, and I'm 46 years old and that felt good. It just, to have that removal and just kind of be connected to everybody and everything again was pretty awesome. And I still am carrying over. I'm still like high from it because I remember.
And it's available all the time. Like, that's the thing. It's like, it's like one of those things. Like, I wish life was like it was. And I was like, it just requires powering down. Like, it's not available anymore. The challenge is really identifying, like, wow, we have, so human an animal.
Mm-hmm.
By Rene Dubois, who was writing about this in the 50s. He was like, if the technology is there, a human can almost not use it. They're like monkeys running towards shiny trinkets. And so he predicted that would be an issue, that once it was available, to not engage with it would take such willpower and or probably that you have to constantly be like critically thinking versus just naturally engaging with your environment. Like, you have to be thinking so much to constantly go, is that what I want to do? No. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to basically behave like a computer. You have to be this, like a bind, like an input, yes or no, you know, like, and I don't know, like, that's why we've removed couches. That's why we've removed the television. That's why we'll be removing the internet and things from our house, because if it's not there, it does not require that you live your life constantly running through, you know, like those if, and you don't have to constantly be doing that. You can just engage more freely with your habitat, but your habitat is more suitable for the goals you yourself have selected. So yes. Anyway,
did okay. you know, did real quick, did you notice when you took your break last year, did it permanently change your habits as going forward?
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I've come back is because I haven't quite figured out the work equation. I've had to literally restrain myself multiple times from heaving my phone into the river. Like, I know, like, my intuition, my natural response to how I feel when I am, like, getting real close up to how I feel with my thing is to heave it away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But why I don't is because of, like, oh, but what if you know, like, you have all these other reasons, but my gut is telling me to throw it away. My intuition is telling me to throw it away. My critical thinking is telling me to throw it away. All systems are like, get rid of this. And so that's why it's time.
Yes. But even if you don't throw it away, it's just even reducing or changing that habit from a break is very helpful. I mean, it's since last July, my usage has been down so much because I understand how good it felt.
Well, I think
it really went back to the same level.
There are moderators and there are abstainers. And clearly, if I got rid of my couch, I'm not a moderate kind of person. It's easier for me to abstain. So I just, like, I can see that that's actually the best solution for me because it works well mm-hmm. with my personality type, you know? And so we went on vacation to a place where there was no, we went backpacking and there was a lot of places that we backpack. I am lucky here because a lot of times my cell phone doesn't work when I go away for the weekend. So that's great, right? Those are always just engagement with nature and family. And I don't have to worry about my phone being an issue because it doesn't work. This is a stack your life. I couldn't imagine how I could take pictures of these beautiful hikes just for ourselves, you know, to show our family when we came back, not for posting. I couldn't imagine how to do that if my phone didn't work. And it was like, oh yeah, remember those things, cameras?
Yep.
And so like I had posted a picture on social media of like these crazy items that I was taking and someone was like, is that a camera? And I was like, yeah, it's a digital camera. It's a high-tech thing that has become obsolete because everyone basically has a camera in their eyeball attached to their hand, right?
That's like, funny. I actually dug mine out 3 months ago.
Yes, because you can take it with you. I found my original iPod from 11 years ago that doesn't do anything except for play music. So now I have found this pile of technology that has become obsolete because of this new thing. Yet when I have the new thing that is many things, like it's like a Swiss Army knife of so many things, I find myself using the things that I didn't even intend to use. Like I might want to listen to music, but now like there's text coming through. Oh, I got to check my email anyway. Oh, I'm walking. Oh, I could take a picture. You know, it's like when you have so many options, it's almost worse. Like it leads you to behaving in a way that you wouldn't have chosen had you not have it. So I was like, I can totally downgrade, again, air quotes, I can downgrade to my what was amazing technology 5 years ago. Like I can downgrade to those expensive, you know, environment costing items, and they're everywhere because they're obsolete and cheap. So I've just been playing around with paper maps, digital cameras, old iPod, my nano iPod from when I was
love
30.
It.
Yeah, so there you go.
Love it. That's awesome. Well, this was fun, and I'm excited to hear how this progresses as we go on. Let's see. It is May. Where are you going to be?
Well, that's interesting. Part of what I'm going to be doing going forward in my way of doing less teaching via social media online is to start teaching more in person, old school style for me, like to figure out a way to actually connect and teach person to person. So I'll be doing a lot more of that for the next few years than I have in the last few years. Where I will be in May is Austin. I'll be at Paleo FX and then probably one other book signing. As soon as I have details, I'll let you guys know. Seattle in September, Ancestral Health Symposium. And then Ancestral Health Symposium New Zealand. I'm going to New Zealand. And I'm sure I'll do other things in New Zealand as well.
Yeah.
That's in October. So. That's in October. Well, I meant teaching things. I clearly will be doing other things in New Zealand.
Yeah. But no, if you're going to, I mean, that's a long flight. So you should be able to reach as many people as you can.
It's a long flight in the big country. And we're actually contemplating staying there. We're actually contemplating staying there for like a month if we could work out. I'm looking for, if anyone knows, this is a great way to use a podcast. If anyone knows of a nature school or a nature program, an outdoor program in New Zealand where, you know, we could bring kids to for a month's period of time and, you know, if they would allow, it's kind of hard to bring kids into a school.
Isn't that just New Zealand?
Well, it is, but, you know, like there's us, the parents, and we'll definitely be doing a lot of that, but they really... They need their own community, and two adults isn't the most nutritious for them 100% of the time. So some time for them to be with other children, I think, would make a month or a month plus be better for them. So please tweet me or text me or write it in the sky.
Sooner
or send
me
a mail. Actually, write it in a mail and send it to my P.O. box and let me know. And it's not why I have till October. Okay, so that's it. And I'll see you all hopefully very soon. And I'll see, am I going to see you pretty soon in person?
I don't know.
Come on.
That would be nice, but.
Come on.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Oh,
maybe
and if anybody wants any of these weaning yourself off and prepping tips, you can visit my blog at moveyourbodybetter.com. And I have like all the tips listed there from last year. So just go to the blog and find them.
Go there right away.
Go there right now.
Thank you, Danny. You're awesome as always.
Thank you
all for listening. For more information, books, online exercise classes, photos of every instant of my life, you can find me at nutritiousmovement.com. And that's a portal for all social media and blogs and books and stuff. And you can find more from Danny Hemmett. I'm trying to think of something clever to say for you. Like, just like zombie apocalypse. I have a good zombie story, but I'm not going to tell you right now. I'll tell you later. You can find more from Dani Hemmett at moveyourbodybetter.com, tips, and also Instagram. She's Instagramming. What's your daily walk now? What are you at, 140?
I don't know. It's a lot. I haven't tallied in a long time. I tally about once a month, but it's pretty good. I front-loaded early so that when I had, you know, days where I couldn't, I didn't feel so bad. But
like you would do double walks, you mean?
Yeah, or more, like walk and a half.
Good.
And now I'm like a puppy. I just crave it all the time. Gotta get out.
You are like a puppy. I've seen you wiggle. All right. Find Danny Hemmett at moveyourbodybetter.com, and we will see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Hopefully you find the general information in this podcast informative and helpful. But it is not intended to replace medical advice and should not be used as such.